just north of what's now called Ground Zero in Manhattan's Chinatown, there are still tenements built 150 years ago, landmarks of the city's most notorious neighborhood. It was named for an intersection, Five Points. Historian Tyler Anbinder has written a history of the neighborhood, which began as an early 19th century landfill.
They filled in a lake which sat in the middle of Manhattan, just above where City Hall now is, and paved streets over it. And it turned out they didn't do a very good job of filling in the lake, and as a result, the ground over the lake started to sink almost immediately, and the buildings built on top of it started to tilt and lean and crack. As a result, not too many people wanted to live there, and so only the poorest of the poor immigrants would choose housing there.
It became known by the mid-19th century, certainly, as the most awful, dangerous, crime-ridden neighborhood in America. You find that perhaps some of the degree of crime was exaggerated, but it was an awfully rough place.
Absolutely. People were very much afraid to walk down the street at night, and that was, for early 19th century America, a very unusual thing. And Five Points was one of the places where what was then known as garroting was very common, where someone would club you over the head, drag you into an alley, and in Five Points, generally steal your boots and your coat. That was the thing that people especially wanted, and your money if you happened to have it, if you happened to be a tourist coming through to gawk at the sites.
Now, it's one thing for there to have been this unsafe, rough, poor neighborhood in what was, well, I guess New York was growing up around it. It was pushing north around this neighborhood, but still in lower Manhattan. What seems a little bit harder to understand is the practice of slumming, which I guess began with Five Points. What was slumming?
Five Points became so notorious that people wanted to see it for itself. They wanted to know, could this really be as bad as people say? Could there be a place so impoverished in America, which was a relatively very, you know, a wealthy country? And so beginning in the early 1830s, people would go there, tourists would make it a destination. And so you have Davy Crockett in one of his memoirs, and he published lots of these things, talks about going down to Five Points and seeing the brawling. One of the things he comments on that made Five Points especially notorious was the mixing of the races, and that was a kind of ghastly thing to most Americans. Charles Dickens is probably the most famous visitor. He writes about it as this terrible place that was even shocking to him, worse than even the worst haunts of London.
Five Points you credit with being the place where tap dancing originated.
The historians of dance believe that tap dance developed in the basement dance halls of Five Points. The story goes that you have African Americans who have very various indigenous American dance forms. The shuffle was one of these. But when the Irish begin moving into Five Points in the 1820s, one of the ways in which the blacks and the Irish compete is at dancing. And they'll go to these dance halls and they'll say, you know, we dance better than you. No, we dance better than you. And the Irish, of course, brought their dances, including the jig and the various forms of the jig, in which there's much more kind of a high-stepping form. And the best dancers would always take what they saw as the most interesting steps from their competitors and work them into their own repertoires. And the man who's credited with inventing modern tap was a guy named William Lane, who was known, though, as Master Juba. And Charles Dickens saw him and said he was the most amazing dancer he had ever seen.
Later on, in an era when there were when there was a lot of gangsterism in New York, I guess toward the end of the 19th century, Five Points was still notorious as home to some of the most violent, awful gangs in New York.
It was actually known for these gangs even before the Civil War, but before the Civil War, the gangs were small criminal gangs. By the Civil War period, you have these larger gangs that are mostly organized around politics. What the Irish found was when they tried to get involved in politics in New York, the native-born Americans said, no thanks. They said, we'll take your votes, but we're not going to give you any say in how the party is run, any positions of power. And what the Irish found was the only way to change that was through political violence. And so Irish New Yorkers, such as those in Five Points, kind of develop the techniques that would make Tammany Hall famous, stuffing the ballot box, repeat voting. And this was organized in these big political gangs.
Well, you actually describe what passed for a primary at one point in Five Points, which was the Democratic Club, a house, or whatever, would have a meeting, and there'd be a brawl, and whichever side won the fight would prevail and nominate its slate.
Absolutely. Any candidate for office would have to come to the primary meeting with his gang of toughs, and your gang would fight your opponent's gang, and whichever gang won literally would throw the other gang's supporters out the window, and then they'd say, okay, time to vote, and they'd have the vote, and of course the person with the most muscle won.
Usually, I have to interject here, usually the logistics of an interview with an author on our program are really not for discussing on the air, but in fact, you and I were really supposed to be walking around looking at these places, looking through the addresses that were once part of Five Points, up in New York City on the morning of Tuesday, September 11th. And we should have been there at 9:30 a.m., and as you recall, came to the NPR Bureau at Midtown at 9, and events intervened.
Right.
So now we get to talk in Washington, where both of us work. And I just wonder, you're a historian of Lower Manhattan. This is your field of expertise, and it's just gone through probably its greatest cataclysm in history. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to your view of it and your work? There, Five Points itself is a little bit too far uptown to actually have been damaged directly by this.
Yes, it's a mile and a half northeast of Ground Zero, so it didn't suffer any actual physical damage. If we can say there's a hopeful thing, one of the hopeful things I can say is, having been back in Five Points recently, is to see that the Five Points story continues, in that Five Points was always a very insular place where immigrants knew each other but had very little contact, at least initially, with the outside world, which to them would mean even, you know, a mile north or south of the neighborhood. And you walk through Chinatown today and you see mostly immigrants who've never been very far outside of the neighborhood. And to them, it seems as if very little has changed. And so in that way, from the immigrant's point of view, you can see that the immigrant experience doesn't change very much, even with a cataclysm like this.
Well, Tyler Anbinder, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
Historian Tyler Anbinder of George Washington University is the author of Five Points, the 19th century New York City neighborhood that invented tap dance, stole elections, and became the world's most notorious slum.